My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Jamie and Deason, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, we're happy to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you guys. You're kicking off a five-part series that we're doing about organizing life stages and unexpected events. This is something I realized as an in-person home organizer that we tend to live in the same dwelling, not in your case, but some people live in the same house for like decades and decades and decades, but our life changes and the way we use our home changes. So I want to feature some different ways that we use our homes. And your big family is a great example of how to use your home during what I call the accumulation stage. So would you mind introducing yourself to our audience? You can mention like who you are, where you live, what your business is, and then tell us who lives in your household with you.
Sure. Well, I'm Jason and this is Jamie Balme. And we live in Oklahoma. And, as you know, we've changed quite a bit how we've lived and where we've lived, and I'm sure we'll get into that, but we're in Oklahoma now, and we run together a small business called Finding Joy in Your Home. And we have seven children now with this, the addition of this little guy. We have, our oldest is a set of twin boys and they are almost 10. They're turning 10 in December of 2022. And then we have twin 7-year-old boys as well. And then we have a 5-year-old girl, a 2-year-old boy, and this little 3-month-old guy here. So we have a very busy household.
Yeah. And I have just loved watching you guys from afar for a long time. I've been a part of many of your summits. I always enjoy being part of your summits and working with you. I know I've been on at least one podcast episode, maybe a couple. So it's just been really fun to watch you guys grow your business and grow your family. And I thought you would be a great example of definitely a group that's in the accumulation phase for Organize 365. So I created 4 stages of life when I was an in-home professional organizer to kind of articulate the different challenges we have in different stages. So childhood is birth through 21 or 25, and then you enter your 20s and 30s where you accumulate houses and spouses and children and jobs and all these. And you guys are expert accumulators of children.
Yes.
Like you win all the awards for accumulating children.
Yes. And all their stuff.
Yes. And that's what I mean. And all their stuff, because with each little human comes all these other things that go along with them. And so we're really going to get into like, how have you handled all that accumulation?
Yes.
And so for the rest of this interview, Jason, I'm so glad that you're joining us in this podcast because we want more male voices on the Organize 365 podcast. And you guys really are a great team in business, in home. Like it's evident in everything you do that you are a true partnership. And so I'm interested to find out how we really are dividing the housework if you guys are game. Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, so I did some academic level research the last couple of years about what is housework, who's doing it, organization, paper organization, all these things that haven't really been defined much beyond just general housework. And so we have a bunch of different categories. So I'm going to go through each category, explain what it is, and then you guys tell us how you tackle it, okay?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay, so the first one is cleaning. This is basically anything that a maid service would do if you had one come in. So they would do like dishes and toilets and vacuuming and that kind of cleaning. Who does the cleaning in your home?
So I would say we're fairly traditional when it comes to kind of cleaning and housework. Jason tends to do all the outside stuff that I don't want to do. And he does the cars and that sort of thing. And I do the majority of the housework. However, I would say as our kids are getting older, they all have their own zones. They have their own areas that they're in charge of. So
and they certainly contribute to the cleaning.
They do. And so especially this year, I feel like so much of that load is now distributed between all the kids. If they each do one thing a day, I mean, that's absolutely huge. So I think that has really shifted for us now that our kids are getting, I say older, because to us, they feel so much older having 10 and 7 year olds, but that has definitely shifted. But I guess as we'll talk about kind of work schedules, we do have different times where I am working and I am completely blocked off. I am working. That is my work time. The only thing that's on my mind and my schedule, and Jason's homeschooling with the kids, and that's where he'll do, you know, he jumps in and he'll do dishes after breakfast and, you know, things like that, just general keeping up. And yeah.
So generally speaking, a relatively traditional breakdown, but there is that big caveat of, whenever it's, you know, one of her work time blocks, anything that needs to get done around the house, whether it's cooking or cleaning or homeschooling, it falls to me in those times. And it's just, you know, it's just how we run things.
Okay. Now I only have two children, which is like no children, according to you. but my children did not do any household chores at all. They had some extra challenges in learning. They were not homeschooled. So they were, you know, traveling to school, lots of anxiety and things along with that. And I use summer to teach life skills. And so I had my kids, they each had their own bedroom. And so that was like their mini apartment and they were in charge of that, but really they didn't have any jurisdictions in the home or do any chores around the home. And so I don't give any parenting advice whatsoever. And I always wanted to be the family that had all of the kids and homeschooled and had the vegetable garden. I'm not any of those things, by the way, but in my head, like that's the kind of mom I was going to be. Right. I did end up homeschooling my daughter the last couple of years of high school. So I did not assign chores because it did not go well for me. The sticker charts were amazing. Like they were really good when I set them up, but only lasted a week. So since you guys are way more, you do more communal living, I would say. Like you live and work together all the time. Yeah. So it's more of an ecosystem, I would say, that you have. Yeah. But what are some tips that you would give to people who either would like to not do it the way I did it, or things that you found have worked, don't work, work with different personalities? Like, what advice would you give us?
So I think one thing that we've been doing, which we'll see, you know, as the kids, we'll hit blocks when they're 15 and they don't want to maybe help out quite as much. But one thing that we do is we talk a lot about kind of our family vision and what we want out of our life. And so we talk a lot about, you know, why are we cleaning? Why do we want the house to be clean? We talk a lot about like, if we want to have a peaceful house, you know, that involves cleaning up the crumbs and, you know, don't you like it when it's cleaner? And, you know, if we're able to all work together and clean right now for 15 minutes, it means we get to go get ice cream. And if mom's doing it all alone, we're not going to get ice cream because there's not time for that. So as a little example, but we do a lot of like family board game nights and we do movie nights. And there's a lot of, we just talk a lot about how we all kind of need to chip in and help get that done, so that we can have that privilege maybe of doing a board game night. So I think we try to hook them into our vision of what our household is. And so that everybody feels a little bit of a responsibility to kind of chip in without it being, you know, unduly on their shoulders or anything like that, but having it be that, you know, they're part of this household, they can chip in a little bit. And one of the things for me is like, I grew up in a divorced household where I never did a single thing. Like I never did any chore, never cooked a single thing. So when we got married, I had no skills at all. I had no idea how to do anything. And I would like my children to be better equipped that they know how to clean a toilet and they know how to do laundry and, you know, they can cook breakfast, things like that, that I just feel like I completely missed out on. And to kind of equip them better as they become adults.
Yeah. In addition to just trying to keep our family household running, we also really do want to have our kids all go into young adulthood and adulthood very fully equipped for cooking, organization skills and cleaning skills, and knowing a lot more about those things than either one of us necessarily went into, you know, the same phase of life with. So it's for assistance and participation in the family, as well as, you know, it's learning and equipping for them.
So do you feel that teaching the skills of homemaking, cooking, cleaning, tasks of daily living are part of your homeschool curriculum?
Yes, absolutely. I do think it's definitely something that we blend in. I think especially, you know, very practical skills like cooking, I think we tend to just dismiss that they're not that important. And yet we all have to cook and feed ourselves every single day. And a big part of my online business is teaching cooking classes. And the amount of women who have and families who have absolutely no idea how to grocery shop in an efficient way, how to, you know, the biggest thing I hear from people is how stressed out they are in the kitchen and getting meals for their family, especially, you know, you want to add in inflation and rising costs. How do you do this? How do you feed a family? And I think there's a whole generation or two that have missed these skills. And so I think they're very practical. And especially for my younger ages, there's so much learning with cooking. I mean, they're learning how to measure and how to count and how to add and how to read recipes. There's really so much that you can learn that I do have an emphasis on making sure that I'm pulling individual children into the kitchen with me, teaching them those skills. And I even think with cleaning, you can teach a lot as well. They're really learning a lot of cognitive skills as they're even cleaning. I just think if you have that mindset of like teaching as you're doing, not just so that they can learn it, but just teaching life skills in general, I love being able to blend that in.
Definitely.
Yeah. So before we go much further, because you've touched on a lot of housework, we're going to go back to cleaning, just the cleaning, like only the tasks that a cleaning person would do if you're hiring a cleaning service, not laundry, not dishes, not cooking, just sheer cleaning. You guys spent quite a bit not living in a traditional home that was stationary like you are now. Can you talk about a little bit about like the house that you lived in, why you chose to live on the road, how long you were on the road, and then the size of the house that you're in now?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we lived in, it was about an 1800 square foot house in California before we hit the road. Our kids were all much younger and we had two fewer than we do now. So things did look a little bit differently. But, you know, there was just the normal, all the different, you know, chores of keeping a house, you know, that size clean, especially with, you know, kids who put crumbs everywhere and toys everywhere. And then when we moved into the RV, which we did primarily because we wanted to just have an educational and explorational experience for ourselves, as well as the kids, you know, there was a big emphasis in our journeys of just exposing them to everything that America has to offer. Because we traveled through, you know, East Coast, West Coast, North and South. We hit the vast majority of the states when we were on the road full time. And one of the practical things that we did notice that was a benefit and which actually enabled that lifestyle, you know, to work for us was, you know, when you're moving into a much smaller space, there are downsides, but, you know, chores and cleaning are definitely less. And, and that was a huge benefit on the road that, you know, even now we've been in this house, I think, for about 7 or 8 months. And it's still like, oh, man, there's so much more cleaning to do in a house than there was. So that was one of the big transitions as far as the chores and cleaning and stuff that you're talking about went for us was a drastic downsize in the just requirements to keep it clean, which was nice and very conducive to a life on the road.
How long were you on the road?
2 years, yep. Just about a month short of 2 full years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you want to do it again?
Not full time.
Yeah.
But it was perfect for the season. It was perfect. It was exactly what we needed. We felt like we were in a very overwhelming season when we were in California. And we just felt like just daily life, like things that people needed from us. felt overwhelming in that season. And so being able to simplify and sell 80% of our stuff, downsize, I mean, we just took the bare minimum with us, and to be able to just be our family for that time was so incredible. And now we're kind of in the opposite where we, you know, we left, moved out of California. We're settling here in Oklahoma. We feel like we're putting down roots now and rebuilding. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Like it's been the right season, but I absolutely could see taking maybe a 3-month trip in the future. I don't know. He's not as sure, but you know, a summer or a month here or there. We're definitely not done traveling. We love traveling.
But yeah. One of the lessons we took from the full-time travel is that we love to travel, and we definitely want to continue having travel and exploration be incorporated into just our lifestyle as we move forward and as our kids get older. But as far as doing it full-time again, I would not foresee that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, in my mind, I always wanted to travel like for a whole year in an RV, and it's fun to watch you. And like, I see you organizing all of your homeschooling stuff and redoing all of your spiralizing all your binders in different colors for your different kids. Like, Jamie, I'm watching. Like, I know what you're doing. And I'm amazed with how much homeschool stuff you were able to shove in that portable solution. I know.
We made it work.
It was unbelievable. Forget the toys. But we'd like all the Montessori. Yes. So that's really, really fun to watch. And like, that's a great example of life stages. Like, we have life stages. And if you really, I think we sometimes get trapped into this idea of like, we live in a house and this is the checklist and you have to accomplish this checklist for the rest of your life. But if you really press into what season of life you're in, your family's in, your energy, your aptitudes, the opportunities that are presenting themselves, you really can pivot and shift, which is really, really fun. So you definitely reduced your cleaning, which is great. And now as your cleaning is expanding, your kids are older and they can help you with the cleaning, which makes complete sense.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I like to talk about tasks of daily living separate from cleaning, because tasks of daily living tend to have a lot of hidden, invisible work in there that we don't even realize that we're doing. It's very obvious if the toilets aren't clean. The tasks of daily living that are obvious are laundry, meal planning, meal cleaning up. Those are obvious if they're not done. I separate them out like this. Cleaning is something that is of the dwelling. So like, a house has more cleaning than an RV. If you live in a retirement community, somebody else does the cleaning and you just live there. But no matter what, tasks of daily living are of the human. So every single human has to eat, meal plan, clean up their, or somebody has to do it for them. And it's not easily outsourced. Like, it's hard to get somebody to make meals for you. It's hard to have somebody do laundry for you. Not impossible, but more challenging than somebody just clean your place. Yeah. And those tasks of daily living follow you on vacation throughout your entire life. They are those life skills that you really need to learn.
Yeah.
So do you view those differently than cleaning, or do you kind of lump them together?
I think for me, it's very much like household and then business. So for me, they really are two spheres, because I don't know, I'm kind of doing the cleaning while I'm doing the meal planning, and they kind of all get rolled together for me, I really think. And I think because we do have the business part, it is very much like, it does very cleanly fit into like, we've got the business and the household here, and they kind of just lump together, I think, really. Now, when we start talking about bills and paperwork and filling out forms, to me, that's a little bit of an annoyance. Like, I'd say neither of us are necessarily super great at keeping up on those things. And that's some of the stuff I think when we were first married, we both struggled with, because neither of us wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Neither of us naturally just wanted to do the finances and do them all. And so this is something that we have traded off back and forth for the very like first half or more of our marriage. I did all of that, hated every second of it. And then eventually he took it over, which he's been doing amazing, but it's really been, I think, both of us having to fight to learn how to do it better, because neither of us is the super great saver finance person who has it all organized. So that's one area I think that's probably been our biggest struggle, of trying to figure out what works with having us both involved, but who's really running it. And it's gotten a lot better the last few years.
We definitely improve as we go on in time, which is the right way to go.
That's true.
So this is what we call the Sunday basket. Like, all that stuff goes in the Sunday basket: bill pay, calendaring, errands, mail, buying gifts, making doctor's appointments, refilling prescriptions. it's all invisible until you don't do it. And then it's a late fee or an embarrassment or, you know, and it takes kind of a lot of work. Like, it's like 90 minutes a week. So we just put it on Sunday versus a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Jason, how have you tackled that? How do you not miss things? What kind of a system have you put in place for yourself?
So I'm a very, the way my mind works is very conducive to online tools as far as like organization and even storage. I don't know why I'm incredibly organized on my computer and my laptop. You know, the organization and file systems are pristine on there, although my desk looks the complete opposite in real life. I don't know the disconnect there, but it exists. And so one of my methods for improving my own ability to stay on top of those things is to digitize it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm constantly, you know, scanning, creating digital documents of things that I would like to keep as opposed to trying to file physical ones, which I do keep, but just not nearly as organized of a way, you know, and as well as using, you know, task management tools, to-do lists, that sort of thing, to just stay on top of all of those things. I use those pretty much every area of my life, but specifically in this area, I certainly do as well. Use these tools to just set reminders, calendar dates, that sort of thing, that keeps me on top of just all of that stuff, you know, all the Sunday basket stuff that needs to be handled on kind of random different times and dates. And that's pretty much how I do it.
And you have like, you have spreadsheets where you're keeping track of like credit card reward points and like, you've got it all there, which is funny. And this is where we've really had to work together, because not only do we have household finances and all that, but we have our business too, which has, you know, we've both struggled with that side of the business too, of not wanting to do it. And it's so funny because I am the exact complete opposite. If you look at my folders on my computer, like Jason, he hates getting on my computer.
Don't ask me to go on her computer. It's a jungle.
Like, I don't have time. I save the file wherever it gets saved. Like, I just, it's a mess, but it works for me. And I have everything written down. Like, all of my planners are physical planners. I want paper. I want it in front of me. And so that's, we've had to really kind of work on kind of a give and take to figure out like, okay, you're going to run that system, which means you're going to have it online, but then you're going to tell me and I'm going to write it in my planner. And then when we do business meetings, I handwrite everything. And then we upload it into our task management system for business so that he can have it digital. And so we really have had to figure out with household and business where we're tracking stuff. And we do the same thing with homeschool. All of those kind of get, we figured out where needs to be on paper and where needs to be digital. And it has started working well. Mm-hmm.
I love this conversation so much because I am a paper person as well. Yeah. I obviously help people organize paper. Like, so the Sunday basket runs your home. The Friday workbox runs your business. My entire company is all women. We all have Friday workboxes and Sunday baskets and all this stuff. And so I don't have enough data yet to find out if this is a male versus female thing, but listening to the two of you talk, I'm like,
I think it is.
Because whenever women digitize something, they totally lose it.
Yes.
And when men try to go to all paper, they're like, we don't even know what's going on.
Yes.
And so I think that's why Organize 365 has stayed predominantly women, is not because we're organizing the home. It's because we literally, I know multitasking isn't a thing, but it is a thing. Eventually they're going to prove that it actually was a thing. And it's just the way women think.
Yes.
Like, we can totally know when the dryer is going to go off before the buzzer happens while we're putting banana bread in and feeding the baby and helping someone with math at the same time. This is not a problem. And then you ask us a question and you say, why are you listening to me? And we're like, well, the answer is 10. I am listening to you. I just haven't verbalized it yet. Because we literally can do this. Like, this is just how we live. Yes. And so for me, the big thing about the paper versus the digital is that if anything happens to me, Greg knows to go to the binder, or he knows to go to the Sunday basket, and everything's in there. If Jamie has a question, does she know how to log onto your computer and find the answer in your digital solution?
Do you?
So we do have like records. They're not updated, which we do need to do, but we do have records where we do try to keep, like, I have a household management binder that has all of my household stuff, which that's got like, that bleeds into like, that has the doctor's number and that has like, you know, dentist appointment schedules in there. And so then we also have like our business equivalent, which is the stuff that Jason handles online. And I have access to all of his spreadsheets. So they're there in my Google Drive. I don't use them or look at them, but they are there that if something were to happen tomorrow and I had to take over finances, it's all in the spreadsheets there that I can access. And then we have, you know, we have all of our logins then are stored in LastPass. Yes. And so we easily, I don't use half of them because he does, but we easily are able to share everything there, because I do think that is a big concern. My mom passed away 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was extremely unexpected. And mm-hmm. she, my parents are divorced. And so nobody had access to her stuff. And it was right. a nightmare. It was a nightmare yep. trying to figure out anything, let alone right. how to get into her bank account and, you know, all these things. Yes. And so I am very aware that we think nothing's ever going to happen, but things do. And so trying to have a good paper trail, whether it's digital or real paper, where you can access stuff, I think is very, it's a good part of organization. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is where our binders came from, was when my dad passed away and my parents are divorced and I'm power of yep. attorney and power of healthcare and four hours away and three lawyers and yep. two cars and a house and a business. And yeah, trying to settle all of that. I think, I also love hearing you both articulate that you each have a system that is working for you and pretty much up to date.
Yeah.
But not everything is up to date. First of all, let's remember 7 children, 1 is 3.5 months old. But I just think in general, when we start talking about organization, people feel like there is this perfect level that we're all trying to get to. No one's there, so nobody says that they're organized. Organization yeah. is a continuum. And we are all more organized at some phases in life and less organized in others. But it sounds like if anything were to happen, you could recreate, you could get caught up pretty quickly and you know what to do. And I think that that is the goal, yeah. that there is a system there Something. And that there's a regular cadence of updating that system so that everything's ready to go. So, but I love how you talked about the invisible work. And I think that that is the conversation that's happening right now in the world about, you know, what are men doing? What are women doing? And the discussion I like to bring to it is not what are men doing? What are women doing? Obviously the two of you are working from sunup till sundown and in the middle of the night, I'm sure. But it is, are we getting done what we want to get done?
Yeah.
Are we sharing the load? And are we aware of what the other one is doing? Because when I did my survey, I did not do spouses. I just did men and women. And I said, who does the majority of the work? And every single person who responded was like, I do. And I'm like, well, yeah. this is impossible. That yeah. everybody. But uh-huh. I think we don't realize, and you yeah. realize because you're in your home all the time, but I don't think that we as human beings realize the quantity of work we're actually doing yeah. to be a human being in a home.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
I think too, learning how to communicate, especially in the context, you know, we're talking about marriage, but learning how to communicate together, like where you need help and when you need help, and learning your personality, because we yeah. struggled for a long time because he wanted me to use his system and I wanted to use my system. And we didn't really understand how it worked better for each other. So being able to really let ourselves figure out what system works well, and then kind of invite the other person into that system. He would prefer me to use all electronic, and I, you know, no, thank you. And so really it wouldn't work. I would not have a business. Like, it would not work for me. And so really learning how we work together is what has made a big difference in just learning, you know, whether it's a male or female thing, what is your personality? Figuring it out and then inviting the other person into it. And especially with blending our business in, we have very regular conversations. This week, we're under super tight deadlines because I have a cookbook coming out. And so this week, just yesterday, I was like, I'm so stressed. And Jason's like, okay, what are you really stressed about? Because, you know, in my brain, it's 500 times bigger than it is. Really, there's 3 things and I think it's 500 things. So right. he's like, let's make a list. And then he's like, okay, well, you know what? It sounds like you need to get cookbook work done, but you're stressed about the house. And I was like, oh yeah. And he's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to clean the kitchen. The kids are going to watch a movie and you're going to go sit and work. How does that? And I'm like, oh, okay. Will you bring me some coffee? Okay. Like, and just really being able to kind of have those conversations of, especially for me, I sometimes get to the stressed out point and I'm not necessarily verbalizing why, because it feels like there's so much piling on. So really being able to talk about it, write down a list and say, what do we really need to prioritize here? And what are you stressing about? We do that often with each other because our business blends so much into our life. And we want to make sure that our business is not taking over our life and is not taking over our time with our kids. We want to have really clear boundaries there, but there are real work deadlines sometimes. And so really being able to have that communication and talk to each other about what we're needing or where we're feeling stressed, it really makes a big difference.
Mm, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. The communication aspect, I think, has been key for us as we've gone on in our marriage and in our, you know, co-owning a business together, is that we just have learned that the more in constant communication we can be, you know, and being completely brutally honest with each other about our needs and our mental space at the time, has definitely helped us to be able to accommodate one another and just enable us to move through a day of, you know, whether they're household, homeschool, kid, or business, you know, things that need to get done. The more in constant communication we are, the more it actually works smoothly and not disastrously, which is never fun.
Okay. I just have to say, I'm 50 years old. When I got married, I very much wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, which I was. And then when the kids became 18, that's when I finally, you know, I'd already started Organize 365. I was about 5 years in, but I didn't start working outside of the home until my youngest was 19. So I'm watching this like I'm watching a documentary or a movie about perfect people. I have never in my life ever heard spouses talk to each other like this, or affirm each other like this, or step in and support each other like this. And I just feel like I need to kind of call it out, because everybody on the podcast is like, where did you find these people? This clearly, like, I don't think this was modeled to you. How did you get to where you are today? We all want to know, how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, that is the question, because we are far from perfect, and we've had many years of figuring stuff out to get us to the more functional than dysfunctional level that we are at now. As we're talking now, we're obviously also painting the ideal version of it, how it works. It very often doesn't work that way. You know, I'll be stressed about the course that I'm working on and not expressing that to her. And so then she's unable to know exactly how to, you know, accommodate me in that way, and vice versa. That happens all the time, but we are always constantly working to work those kinks out and to be more aware and cognizant of when we are closing down, bottling up, and kind of becoming the road bump or the bottleneck, you know, in the system. So, because that certainly does happen.
I think too, something that I think has very much aided us is that we are extremely clear on what our family goals are. And that is something that I started blogging the year that we got married, and it was just fun. And then I started having friends who were making money and selling eBooks. And I was like, what is this? And then we just started building it. And Jason was in an extremely stressful, high-powered sales position where they wanted him working Saturdays and Sundays and 80 hours a week. And if he was going to continue having a job, that's what he was going to have to do. And that was not okay with us. We wanted a dad who was present in the home with our kids and having that time together as a family. We didn't want a life where we never saw each other. And so we started getting really serious about building up my business so that Jason could come home and run it. But because of that, we've always been clear, I don't want to work 80 hours where I don't see my children. I am a stay-at-home mom for the most part who also works from home, but that is my primary position and I want to be with the kids. And so being really, really clear on that, I think, is what helps us, because we do get into seasons where I feel like we've become lopsided and kids' attitudes are coming out and him and I are frustrated with each other. And that's when we sit down and I say, something's not working. And what's our goal? And there's always been in the back of our mind, if at any point this didn't work, Jason would go find a different job. And that has always been like, that has to be the number one priority, is our family thriving and our kids not being neglected. And so when we keep that in mind, it really helps us to be very much to say, like, there's been times where I come to him and I say, this season's not working. This is too hard. I feel stressed out all the time. Something has to change. And we go, okay, what is it? It's easy to say that, but it's hard to work through that. And so we've had seasons of imbalance. We've had times where I'm working more than I want to be. And we've had times where, you know, we're all maybe just brats to each other.
Yeah.
And so really working through that, though, I think having it in mind, what is our family goal and what do we want for our family? What's our family vision? That is what brings us back on track every time. And there's been a lot of wrestling through that to figure out what that is. But that is what really enables us to say, hey, you know, I feel like I'm feeling stressed. Let's figure something out. And we're able to do that in line with what our family goals are. And that means we've made a lot less money in our business than we could have. And that's exactly what we want for our family. And, you know, and it's being very, very clear on what those goals are.
Yeah. I think that puts it well.
I think because I've observed a lot of homeschool families, And one of the things I really admire and love about a homeschool family and why I wanted to do one was because you do get to incorporate life and school into one blending and really use the benefits yeah. of the home in the school and in and a lot of flexibility. I really, flexibility is like my number one goal. And every job I've ever had, it's flexibility yeah. is the number one thing for me. So in creating Organize 365, because I am a teacher, like that is my profession. I was a teacher. I'm a same as you. I started as a blogger. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have found there are things that schools do really well, businesses do really well, and homes do really well. Mm-hmm. And for me, in order to be successful at home and then successful in work, I do plan my home and I plan my work. So I plan my work 4 times a year. We have 4 planning days that are open and people can join in. And we plan our home 3 times a year. So January, May, and September, we plan for the next 4 months. So we plan in these trimesters for what is going to happen. And it is that planning, which you guys have a lot of different ways in which you're doing the same exact thing. If you've read the book, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, he talks about working on your business and working in your business. And I think in general, humans are just so busy getting through the day, checking things off the list, getting done what they need to get done, that they're working in their life and not on their life. And when you choose to work on your life, it's when you have these conversations. It's when you take the time out and you really think about like, here's where I am today. Here's where I want to be. What steps do I need to take in order to be there? What's working? What isn't working? 80 to 85% of our life is all of our habits. So yeah. it's what habits do I need to break? What habits do I need to add? Because that's actually what's going to get me to the end goal. It's not really the course or the whatever. It's actually the habits that you create along the way.
Yeah.
And I think that not only because you're a homeschooling family, which homeschooling families are very purposeful because they have to create the whole curriculum, but also yes. you're an entrepreneurial family, that you must do that amount of conversations and planning. Otherwise, you won't get the results that you want in either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say for sure, you nailed it right there. The thing that allows us to be successful in life and business is having regular times of working on the business and the household and the family and everything, as opposed to just kind of, you know, going on autopilot and just letting our habits take control. Because we have had those times when you just kind of, you get off track because you're overly busy. And so you're not actually planning and working, you know, ahead of time and planning and preparing things out. And so you end up missing stuff because you're on autopilot and you're just working, like you said, in it as opposed to on it. The thing that most effectively has enabled us to actually have a business now for almost 7 years, as well as, you know, having, you know, 7 kids and homeschooling them, is to be very intentional with that planning and constantly trying to stay on top of that and changing things when we need to, but, you know, not becoming overly married to a plan if it's not working. But that has absolutely been probably one of, if not the most important elements of keeping ourselves to be successful.
When we do, we talk often yeah. about where do we want to be in 40 to 50 years? What's our 10-year goals? And those are more, you know, those will change and morph. What's our 5-year goals? What do we want in a year? And what's next month? And so we are very often, we're putting in a lot of hard work for what our future goals and dreams are, really trying to be able to build that, which takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of time, but we know that we're building towards something. And so it's, mm-hmm. it makes it so that we can put that time and that effort in because we're building for something. And then that trickles down into our daily schedules, because then we are trying to schedule in, you know, what we're kind of planning and envisioning for.
Yeah. Why don't you, I mean, I want to know, I'm sure other people want to know, what is it like? What are your days like? What are your weeks like? How do you do this dance? What is this blend? Fill us in.
It really is a dance. I actually really mm-hmm. like that, because it's a very much a give and a take between the two of us. So typically, really, Ricky wants to share.
Okay. Feel free.
Hold on one sec. I'm going to go give him to the 10-year-old. All right. He just wanted to chat. And once he starts, he is so loud.
Yes.
Okay. So what was the question?
The question was, what is like an average typical day or week look like?
Okay. So our typical spread when we're not in a launch. So sometimes when we're in a launch mode of a launch week, like we are right now, all bets are off and we're just getting whatever we can get done. But typically Monday, Wednesday, Friday are Jason's work days. So he gets up at 5:30 or 6, he's off to the gym, and then he will typically spend half the day to most of the day out of the house at Panera or a coffee shop getting work done. it helps both of us to get out of the household sometimes, especially because our house this year is very small. So those are his work days and I am home. I'm homeschooling. It's my home days. I'm focused on cooking. And that's one thing is that whoever's working is working and whoever's home is home. And we try very much to keep that delineation because otherwise your mind goes crazy. If you're trying to sneak in a little bit of work and you're trying to do home and the kids end up suffering if we're trying to do that. And so whoever's home is very much home. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays are typically my days. And so Tuesdays, I have a nursing baby right now. So our schedules are, are different right now. Tuesdays, typically I will leave at the crack of dawn and I am just working at Panera and I will be there for 10 hours and I just bust out as much as I possibly can, and then come home for dinner. And that works well. And then Thursdays tend to be my videoing days. So I will be in the kitchen doing videos. Jason will take the kids to the library and the park, or I'm doing videos in here in the office. So that's kind of how we split that. But really having the delineation between the work, who's home, who's working, is what I think, at least for me, mentally really helps. Yeah. You probably can switch a little bit easier, but I have a hard time like going back and forth when I'm working because I do a lot of very creative work too. So when I'm in the creative work, I really need to be focused, and getting interrupted every 10 minutes doesn't work well. So even when I am working from home here, mom's not here. Mom's working and it's very, we try to keep that separation, which doesn't always work perfectly, but that's what we shoot for.
Yeah.
When I was working from home, and you interrupted me, I was not nice mommy.
Yes.
No. Or if there was, and my kids were in school, if there was a snow day, so that meant that I lost my work day.
Oh yeah.
Not nice mommy.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely helps in our attitudes as well as our mentality to have that kind of delineation. It's like, you're not on right now for this. You're specifically doing this thing and that's it. And switching between us so that always one of us is with the kids and one of us is, doing the business is the best way we've found to sort of strike that balance.
And nights and weekends?
Yeah, I mean, those, we try to keep those as much, open as possible. And they usually end up as spillover for, when we're behind on things and need to catch up. Inevitably, we have some, nights, especially in busy periods when we're like preparing to launch a new product or, our conference is coming up or something like that, then we'll have additional, night time that we'll share, once the kids are in bed. And, our kids are all young enough that they're still going to bed, earlier than us. And so we have, actual time in the evenings that is just ours. And we can, utilize that to catch up on stuff when we need to. But we don't have as much of a set kind of expectation or schedule for those times. Those are just kind of times that we generally try to keep open for ourselves. And when we need to fill some of that with work, we do.
We do though try to keep regular business hours for the most part, because with running a small business, it can take over every single corner of your life. Yeah. So we do very much, there are times when I'm like, we're both working on projects. We're like, let's get the kids down at 7. The older boys can listen to their audiobooks and we're going to work 7 to 9 and we're both going to knock out a few projects. And then we're going to turn the computer off and we're relaxing then. And we do build in a lot of rest time. We're not working every single night till midnight and all the weekends. We are very much trying to fit that business into business hours. There are some times where we have to go over, but then again, weekends also we try. Sundays are always off completely for us. Saturdays, sometimes we'll tackle, if we need a little bit extra time, tackle a project in the morning, but Saturdays typically are just family time. But we are very flexible. Like you were saying, we love that flexibility. So if our family is going to go to the zoo, if we're doing anything, we go on a weekday. We do not do things on the weekend because we have that flexibility. So we will often, and especially when we were traveling, Saturday was a normal work homeschool day for us. And we would take off usually Tuesday or Wednesday was a weekend day. And that's when we would go do adventures and go to places every week. But now often that'll be like, sometimes we'll take off a Tuesday and we go do that stuff where nobody's there and it's empty. We do the museums and things like that. And then Saturday then turns into a work day to kind of make up for that.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we love with having our business and homeschool is that we can be incredibly flexible. And we also then can take trips to go see family. Like we did a 2-week trip in September. Yeah. For my brother's wedding, we took 2 weeks off, you know, so we're able to have kind of that flexibility then too, which is partly why it makes it so worth it. We work really hard for our business and it does make it crazier than if he just left and went to a job all day and came home and, you know, it makes it, there's more, but it gives us so many benefits.
There are lots of perks, yeah.
it's worth the hard work.
Do you guys have a team? Do you want to grow a team?
So we do have an assistant and we've had a few assistants throughout the years. I have struggled because in the past that fell more on me to kind of offload things where I needed to, but it's really hard to have a team. It's really hard to offload
stuff
at first. And I had really struggled, especially in the years of little kids. I literally was just doing the next thing in our business to do the next thing. Like, it was like, I don't have time to hire someone because this is due tomorrow morning. So I'm going to work on it till midnight and get it done. And so having to back up timelines to get things out to people, it's tough. It's not, it sounds easy and it's not. No. And so we have worked so hard. I have worked hard the last 2 years to get better at documenting what I do and when I do it and learning how to offload things better. And so we actually have a creative director who is joining us January 1st. And I'm like, wow. I am through the moon excited about this. And so what we're going to be working together is like really spearheading bigger, larger projects. And then we're going to be having her hand stuff off then to assistants so that she's going to be doing the documenting and the training. Like, we're trying to figure out how to make that work well. And we're really excited because we're really hoping in the next few years to really be able to grow a team, but it takes a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We've always been filling our time so much with actual, you know, revenue driving projects that we've never had the spare time to devote to actually like prepping and training, even though that will help in the long term. Yeah. But we have had a consistent, like a assistant on board for about a year now, would you say? And that has been really helpful. And
we freelance certain things. Yeah, we'll send out things for editing and, you know, graphics work and stuff like
that. Yeah, we do all sorts of like, you know, freelance hiring out contractors, but we're really excited to add that another person onto our team in January, because that's just going to enable us to tackle, like Jamie was just saying, larger projects that are not majorly impacting either of our time, because we're already pretty much maxed out. So if we're ever trying to hope to expand, it's like, well, as long as we're both doing all of that sort of thing, we can't. So that's why we're really finally taking this next step.
Yeah, I have grown many businesses. I've helped many people grow businesses over the years. And I've observed, I'm a big observer. And what I've observed is you can get to a really nice salary working on your own and with two people in your business. I mean, it's double. And with an assistant, I mean, you can get to a really nice, profitable business. And then to make the next leap, you almost have to go back and give up most of your profitability for about 18 months. And then you'll start to make the next leap. And to be honest, it's not really worth it if you don't really see you're scaling to the moon. You know what I mean? Like every time you decide to add a team and go from where you are to about five team members would get you to the next level. And then once you get to five, again, you're going to have to stop taking or really reduce how much you take for another 18 months to get to 10, to get to 15. Until you really get to a team of about 10 and hit $1 million in revenue or more, you're not going to match the salary that you have right now.
Yeah.
And so it really is, I mean, it seems like what everybody's doing and what you should do, but I don't think people really ever step back and run the numbers of what your take home will be. And then you do have to manage, and employees need care and watering and feeding. And then they have their own ideas. And then you got to listen to those ideas. And sometimes they're great ideas and sometimes they're not. And you got, you know, it's a lot of work to grow a team. But if your vision is one in which you want to reach a larger audience, then you almost have to grow a team. But if it is to be a self-supported, lot of flexibility, enough money to do what you want to do for all these goals that you have, I don't think you need one.
That's what, like with traveling, it would have been impossible with a team. Like I didn't want to have weekly meetings and check up on what people are doing. Like that actually does like constrain you in certain ways. And so I didn't want that. Like that was not what I wanted, even though there were some things that would have been nice to take off my plate. But now being here, like I said, we're putting down roots. We do see that next, like, what's our business going to be in 5, 10 years? And looking at trying to kind of, you know, with online businesses, they're always kind of changing and evolving. So what's kind of the next thing that we're looking at? And we have really big dreams for opening like a physical actual like bookstore. We want warehouse space. We've got some larger dreams that are kind of adding on. And so every time, and I'm an idea person, so I have 100, right? Right. Yes. I have 100 business ideas.
Every 10 minutes or so.
And so we have really gotten better at Jamie not adding to her plate. And so if we're going to envision something new, we are hiring someone to do it. And so what we're looking at as our next phase is we have a couple new brand new things that we want to do. And we're going to hire someone to run it and pull the profits out of that. So yeah, this new branch of the business, we're not going to make any money for quite a while, but our business, what we run right here, is still working, still doing, still going. Yeah. And then she's going to be taking this and we're going to just reinvest the profits from that back into that and see where we can take it in the next 2 years mm-hmm. and kind of reinvest. And if she needs more help because she's hitting her capacity, we're going to be adding mm-hmm. in some assistance yeah. for her and kind of trying to keep it separate in that way so that we're not just paying a bunch of people to still make the same amount of money. Yeah. Like, it, you know, like it, that yeah. doesn't make sense. And so trying to do it that way. So it's definitely going to be, it'll be interesting as we try to kind of hand off some newer projects and add some things in, and we'll see how the next yeah. couple of years go.
Yeah. Well, I think the final part on that is that we both, you know, we both have always tried to work as much as possible to grow our business in the direction of having, that we're, at least for the majority of our time working, we're doing the sorts of things that we actually enjoy doing, that we actually have a passion for. And obviously, I mean, like, you know, we were just talking about, I do all the paperwork and financing and I hate all that stuff. So you can't avoid it all. That's one of the other things we try to talk about when we talk about expanding, is taking as much of those you know, sorts of tasks or business, you know, elements that we don't actually like to do, or we aren't even naturally well-suited for, and trying mm-hmm. to figure out how those are the things we can offload so that we can free our time to do more of the actual business that we actually enjoy doing.
Yeah. This has been such a fun conversation. I have enjoyed it so much. Any other organization or productivity things that you guys wanted to mention that I didn't ask?
I think just going back to, this is what I talk about a lot with my membership, is being really clear on your vision of what you want for your family, where you're headed. It's not always going to work out perfectly, but kind of having that vision of where you want, what are the values for your family? What are the most important things? So for us, family nights, board game nights, those are more important than having soccer on the schedule right now. That we're very clear on that. So really, what are you saying yes to? What are you saying no to? And we do a lot of planning. And so, like I said, I write it all out on paper, but every year we have a giant business meeting where we're planning out our next 12 to 18 months for business. What are our big projects, where they're going to kind of generally be. And then every quarter we're doing another really big planning session, and we're planning out our business projects, but we're planning them out around what's happening with our family. And so we're making sure that we're prioritizing like what is on our family's schedule. And of course, for us, a huge part of that is homeschool. That takes a ton of my time in my day. And so there's so many projects that I could work on, but they're not realistic and they don't match with me being a present mom who's teaching her kids. And so really making sure that when we're planning and breaking these down, that we're being realistic with our time. And I think that's something that we've gotten better at.
Yeah.
Because I tend to think I can get 100 things done a day and I can get 3 things done. And so I have had to really learn. And then he's a little bit of the opposite. Will be like, oh, we can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, we can. And so really trying to figure out, like, he needs to step his dream up a little bit sometimes. I need to go down. And then we kind of can meet there in the middle and getting more realistic with what we can do. And then just really breaking down the steps. So if in a year from now, we want to launch a new product, what does that mean 11 months from now and 10 months and so on, to where we have our to-do list for this week. We've got those baby steps. You need to email the designer and we need to reach out to someone, you know, whatever it is. We know what we're doing this week for our project that is a year from now, and really getting that. So we're always juggling 10 different projects, but you're doing these little baby steps. If we didn't have that overarching organization, then it wouldn't work. And that also trickles down to, when do you fit in cleaning the toilets? And when are you, like, I think we're very intentional with the pockets of time that we're using. And so people a lot of times are like, how do you get so much done? But I don't sit around a lot. Like, right. I have coffee in the morning and I will throw a load of laundry up and then we're doing our read aloud. And if you have your to-do list and you know what you're kind of just moving into the next thing, I'm not running around like a frantic person all day, but I know what I'm moving into. And when I don't have that, I start to kind of go, oh, what am I working on next? Oh, what am I going to do? But if I've got that kind of clearly laid out, you just kind of move into the next thing. And I am a lot more productive that way. Yeah. And I think that allows us to get to some of these bigger things and these dreams and goals that we want to work on. And it's, I think, the little daily steps that really carry that along.
Jason, anything to add?
I mean, I work very similarly to her in that way, is that for me, it's all about having a plan and the task management to do. I live off of those for work. And without them, I would feel like I was spinning my wheels every single day, just not even knowing what am I supposed to be doing right now? Like, is this a productive use of my time? But actually knowing those, you know, things that we've planned out sometimes, like she was just saying, in a year in advance, that I'm contacting contractors to do work for us for something that's not even going to happen for a long time. But if you don't get those things done that much in advance, you're never going to get that project done. Those are the things that, having written out and that I stick to, that really make things work.
Well, like, if you give yourself an entire day to clean the house, it's going to take you an entire day to clean the house. If you give yourself an hour, you're going to get it done. And so that's what I've really learned, is like, when you give yourself a 2-week deadline, you're going to do it the last day of the 2 weeks. Or if you say, this is going to be done before I go to bed tonight, it's going to get done, generally, you know? And so that's what I have learned a lot, is really, you have to be realistic with what that time is and how long it really will take you. But trying to fit those things in better. And then we rest at night, we watch movies with the kids, and we have that time off, and Sundays are family days, and really balancing. It's not hustle all the time, but it's hustle sometimes.
Yeah.
And then it's resting well. Yeah. And I think that balance is what allows us to be on the ball and get stuff done. And then we're resting as well. We have to have those rhythms and that balance as well.
Yep.
How do you plan your homeschooling, and when do you do that? Like, do you do that also with this quarterly planning? Is that a different planning?
Yeah. So because our life is so intertwined with everything, we tend to do all of our planning kind of together. Like, it's very much like, I will just break down different categories because we are planning in when those are going to happen, which takes away from work time. And so it really is very much, our life is very cohesive in that way. We're all up in each other's business, and it works. So we will do, at the beginning of every school year, Jason and I very much will sit down and evaluate, like, what has gone well for our school this last year, or we'll kind of talk at the end of the year and then at the beginning of the year again. But we're really evaluating and saying, hey, you know, I feel like this kid, he's kind of getting a little lost in math. What should we change something up? Should we do some research on a new math program? We're really kind of evaluating who is at what's working, what's not working. And then I tend to do a lot of the planning, and then I'll bring it to him and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking. And he was like, oh, that's great. So we'll do that for a full year, but then we're very flexible. So we'll get a quarter in and realize, nope, that's not working. We're completely changing. And, you know, for this whole month, it's going to be different. Like, December, our schedule is always way lighter, but then we school throughout the summer. So it just really, we're very flexible with that, but we're always constantly kind of in communication of what's working, what's not, where do we need to pivot? And that goes, the same goes for our entire life. We're always kind of on a monthly basis too, saying, okay, what's coming up this month and what do we need to kind of restructure?
Yeah.
So does the planning and the grading and all of that happen during your time of school, Monday through Friday, or does that happen in the evenings or on the weekends or during your work time, Tuesday, Thursday? Like, when do you plan out the next week's worth of lessons and things like that?
So all of the curriculums we use are open and go. So I am not on a weekly basis. I am not putting together lesson plans. I am not spending hours creating things. I will plan out what topics, like what we're going to be diving into, what we're going to be doing. But we do something called unit studies. And so when we are diving in, like, for example, we're doing like an artist study right now that's covering a bunch of different artists and composers. And throughout that, you're learning language arts, you're learning geography of where they grew up, and you're kind of learning that all together. But we use an open and go. So, like, we pick it up in the morning and I start reading and we're all learning it together. And that is what works. If I was doing 20 hours a week of lesson planning, it would not work so well. And so we're doing that as we go, but I'm picking then what are the next topics? And I, you know, there is some work involved of our next unit's going to be on US history. So I would have a US history board game we're going to get and add on. There's things like that that we're adding in, but it's very minimal as far as planning in that way, lesson planning and things like that. So then we're just kind of tackling each week as we get to it.
And then the grading kind of happens to you know, to touch on the other part of what you asked. During the school day, during the school time, like, you know, for their language arts and anything else like that, it's happening, you know, they're doing the work, bringing it to us, and we're taking a look at it right there. And then right now for math, they're all doing an online program that's grading itself automatically. And so when they get ones wrong at that time, we'll come to them and say, okay, let's, you know, what'd you get wrong with this one? And, you know, we'll kind of, you know, go through the correction. But that all happens during the sort of like the discrete school time of each day.
Yeah, I think that's helpful to hear because people who are looking into homeschooling or who are homeschooling, sometimes they try to recreate a school in their home and all the administrative work that goes along with the school. I didn't do that either, by the way. I think that once you get into homeschooling and you're in it a little bit longer, you realize, oh, there's nobody checking your work. There's nobody making, like, you can do whatever you want. And so it's liberating, but I like that open and go. I think that's what you said of the units. Yeah. So I'll be speaking at a couple of homeschool conventions in South Carolina, Missouri, and Cincinnati this year. I love going to the homeschooling conventions. We're doing the Greater Homeschool Conventions this year. And I just love, I love the flexibility. And I do love how you can teach all those things. Of course, I'm a teacher. But I think if you are thinking about homeschooling or if you are homeschooling, I just want to say, like, it's just like housework. You can't do this wrong, people. You cannot do this wrong. You're going to be fine. And you should be grading the work right there. And then do you guys give your kids homework at night? It doesn't sound like they're doing homework at night. So there's a lot of benefits to homeschooling. You don't have to overcomplicate it. Every year when I do these homeschool conventions, there are brand new parents there thinking about it or in their first year. A lot of the people are in their first year, got started homeschooling, and they tried to recreate a school, and they're just like spinning, and they're like, how do I not do this again next year? Like, learning should be fun. Like, I'm a lifelong learner. I know you guys are lifelong learners. Like, it's just like having fun and learning and bringing your kids along with you. Like, it's amazing how much just naturally happens.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, and you can at home, you can get through so much more. You don't need to be in school 8 to 3. And that's what a lot of times people will, for their 7-year-old, you know, will try to make it this full day. Well, public school has so much wasted time. You're trying to wrangle 30 kids and you're trying to get them to listen, and you're transitioning into lunchtime and you know, we can listen to our read aloud audiobook while I'm making lunch. Like, there is so much that we do that cuts out so much. Like, I mean, wrangle 37-year-olds to stand in a straight line to go out to recess. It's 25 minutes, you know? Yeah. And so there's so much you cut out that we're done usually by noon with our homeschooling for the day. And we've moved through our subjects. Like, it doesn't have to be, and that'll increase as they get older. You know, every season's a little bit different, but we did a unit at the beginning of this year that was on gardening. And so we're learning all of our subjects through gardening. And then we were out in our garden gardening. Like, there's so much fun that you can kind of blend together that I think a lot of times people picture that we both work 8 to 6 every day, and we're homeschooling 8 to 3 every day. And then somehow during the day we're gardening and cooking. Yeah. So much of it is just blended together into our family routines. There's a lot of overlap there, which allows us to kind of do a lot more, but you're kind of all doing it together.
Are you saying that you're multitasking? I'm just going to keep saying it until somebody realizes that we actually, like, you're task stacking everything. There is so much more you can do. I will say, in the last 2 years, I have been really working on my endurance as far as being able to get up and go through meetings all day long without losing any energy, seeing how fast I can get tasks done, seeing how much we can get done as a company. I have definitely hit my wall finally. And I'm like, oh, literally, Lisa, you can cram no more into your days. Like, you, this is as productive as you can be.
That's good.
I equate it to people who work out, which is totally not me. But apparently, if you work out and, like, you're lifting weights or whatever, or running, like, you can always run faster. You can always lift more. Like, there's always more you can do than you realize. We are capable of being so much more productive than we are led to believe by people. Yeah. And, like, it's amazing. So I run a full-time business, and then we have our grandbaby that's at home with our daughter. And then I want to be fully present for my husband, and I'm starting my PhD in January, and it's all going to fit. Now, I will say, we can add no more to this plate. Yes. The plate is fully full, but But a lot of people would say you couldn't do any of those things together. And I'm doing all of those things together. So I think that we have way more capacity. But for me, and it sounds like for you also, the key is you have to work on your life, not just in your life. And all of that comes down to planning. You have to spend time 100%. Thinking through and planning and changing your habits for the life that you want to have tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think that comes down to the cleaning and the cooking. And so many people feel like that part of their life is so completely out of control that they can't add anything in. And yet they don't want to work on the cleaning routines and the schedules. But if you can get to the point where your laundry and your cleaning is second nature, you're not thinking about it. You're not that you can multitask because your brain is not being spent on that energy of trying to figure it out. Like I just throw the laundry up. And you know, we're moving and grooving, like we can fold laundry while we're doing school. There's so much that you just really, if you work on those really practical skills, which I think is why I get so passionate about teaching that, because I have struggled with that. So really learning that is going to make you more productive. Then you have more time to get to those big things that you want to. And it takes work though, to get to that point. It doesn't, I am not a type A. I am not a type A personality. I am very much the creative, like, growing up, my bedroom was a mess. And like, I have learned those skills. So you don't have to be born with it. I have 100% learned how to do those. And it makes a really big difference.
Huge difference. Before we go, Jamie, Jason, how can people find you, follow you, see what you have going on?
So our main website that has a, you know, it's kind of the hub for a lot of what we do is findingjoyinyourhome.com. You'll be able to, you know, check on the podcast there, which is same name, Finding Joy in Your Home. Then, you know, we have on social media, you know, if you follow Jamie, your names are just Jamie Balme, right? So you'd follow her on Facebook or Instagram is just Jamie Balme, you know, and then we, you know, some of our products and courses and stuff you can find at like findingjoyshop.com or findingjoybookstore.com, which is where, you know, some of the stuff we publish is.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.